Welcome everyone to the Supersize Phys Ed podcast. I am Dave Carney, your host, and I teach in Fort Myers, Florida, kindergarten through fifth grade, PE. So I have a special episode for you. I haven't done a lot of interviews yet. This is only my second one, but I wanted to bring on a famous PE person, if you will, especially in the tech world. He is the PE geek, Jared Robinson, and he has written books, created lots of apps, lots and lots, and programs, and just really pushed the profession forward, as I always say. He got me into the social media game, pretty much, virtually. I didn't know him at the time, but through getting to know him, again, virtually on Voxer and Twitter, and also meeting him at the PE Institute in 2015 in North Carolina, we've gotten to become friends. Again, we don't see each other a lot because he lives in Australia and I live here, but I wanted to reach out to him and interview him and ask him some questions that I didn't know the answers to, and I didn't hear a lot. I hear him getting asked the same kind of questions, not over and over again, but a lot of similar ones. I try to ask some different ones, hopefully that no one knows the answers to. So anyways, hope you enjoy it. And by the way, I feel really bad about this. I was listening back to the recording, and there's like a almost like a waterfall type sound or water sound, and I'm like, what is that? Is my this is my new microphone. I'm like, is my microphone really that bad? And hopefully it's not. No, what it is that I was recording at midnight at my house, and I set up in the kitchen, and I didn't know that, or I guess it's just a part of the house, my household, that I just didn't realize it because it's going on all the time. We have a water dish for the cats, and now our puppy, that it kind of just goes over and over again like a waterfall. And I had no idea that it was going to be picked up by the microphone, but it was. And so I'm sorry about that little splashing sound you hear a lot of the ways through it. So I apologize on that one. But anyways, here is Jared. He is awesome. This is my interview with Jared Robinson. All right. So I'm with Jared Robinson, the PE geek himself. Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it, Jared.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you across the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, for me, it's always where in the world is Jared Robinson. So can you tell us where you're coming from today and all that good stuff?
Yeah, well, I'm in a place called Bendigo in Victoria, Australia. So right at the bottom of Australia, our capital city is Melbourne. Many people have heard of that place. And yeah, I live in this smaller sort of place, not like a big city, 100,000 people. And yeah, I love it. It's a nice blend of life for us here.
Well, that's great. And speaking of us, so I wanted to ask you how, when I was a PE teacher, I became a PE teacher when I was almost 39 years old. And I was in the classroom for a long time. But, you know, one of the things, kids obviously have changed me, having children and my time. And I know you always talk about time as your most valuable commodity. How has that changed since you've had a daughter? And congratulations, of course, on having Sienna. How has that changed your work-family balance, and how do you manage that?
Well, it has to change, doesn't it? Like, you've got different priorities now. So, she's priority number one. And, yeah, it's just great that we live in a space now where we can still be beneficial to the people that we serve, so PE teachers and the live and online events that we run, and we can still spend a lot of time with her. So we're quite lucky that we've got this flexibility that we can sort of be able to work from home on the projects such as Connected PE and the various things that we do, and she's sort of around the place too. But it does change, because even just thinking the other day, like, I haven't sat down and watched a Netflix series for a long time. Like, I just haven't really had the chance to do it, because when I'm not doing work, I'm either with her. So it does change things.
Oh, yes, exactly. I wanted to mention that, we've known each other for a few years now, and especially we got to meet at the PE Institute, which was one of my favorite things I've ever done, especially in the PE world. I think that was just an amazing experience, and I met you and just everybody that I
were kind of my PE heroes, I would say. And it was just unbelievable. So can you tell us about that experience?
Awesome event.
Yeah, can you tell us about it?
That event was quite unique. Like, you know, Artie pieced together this sort of global PE event, which he still does now. Like, you know, he's still doing the same thing. But this particular year, he seemed to invite lots of people from, you know, the online spaces. And when we all got there, like, everyone had sort of already connected and shared ideas and been sort of in connection for a long time. So it was almost like you were just picking up where you left off from. Does that make sense? Like, you met someone, but you've already been talking with them for, you know, yeah, over a year or more. So it was a very unique sort of experience in terms of PE conferences. And that doesn't really happen. Like, you know, it was quite unique to that particular conference.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I felt like I should be asking for autographs. I just meet all my favorite online people. And it was really cool because it was just like, you know, hugs and handshakes and smiles and just learning. It was awesome. I just really appreciated that. That was great. So I was going to go into a few things that you're into right now. I was wondering, well, you've got me into podcasts, basically. Yours was the first podcast, the PE Geek, that I ever started listening to. And then we started connecting and just started listening to kind of similar podcasts. So what are some of the podcasts you're listening to now? You know, just wondering if you're in anything new that I haven't heard about yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm always listening to different things. You know, I am a big hip hop fan. So a lot of people probably don't know that about me in the PE space, but I mean, there are some people who do know that because they also are hip hop fans. But there's a podcast there that I listen to that I regularly tune into called the Joe Budden podcast. So I like this idea of, you know, the fact that you can listen to podcasts on anything, whatever topic or interest you're sort of passionate about, there's probably going to be a group of people assembled talking about that. I know you've like discovered even things that you weren't that interested in and you become interested in them, like those whole true crime series and all those sorts of things. But no, I tend to stick with educational sort of stuff. So in the business space or the personal improvement type space, and occasionally delve into that entertainment world, you know, some sort of docu-series type thing. But you know, there's a couple that are on heavy rotation, and you know, things like 4-Hour Work Week. What's his name?
Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, Tim Ferriss. I can't believe I just drew a blank on that. Tim Ferriss. Yeah, that's been a big part, and like the Joe Rogan Show, like lots of these big podcasts, and they sort of fit multiple niches. You know, they're educational, they're motivational. That sort of thing is what I'm, you know, passionate about at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny because you actually got me into listening to Tim Ferriss, Lewis Howes, who I know you met. I'm still listening to them, and you got me into true crime too. Look what you've done here. You got me into true crime. I told you this before, I've never really been a CSI kind of person on TV, but for some reason I don't know, I enjoy listening to it. It's, some of these are really well produced. I mean, between Serial and then, you know, some of the ones, even the one near you, there's been a couple of them that you got me listening to, which is really good.
No, I mean, there's something in that about the high quality production too, that a lot of podcasts have moved to. And there's a lesson in there for, I think, no matter what industry or field you're in, like this idea of, you know, professionalism and like high quality productions is sort of something that we do too. And it's just great to be able to see that and think, you know, how awesome is this particular production that they're putting on, and how can I do that same type of thing with whatever it is that I'm doing? You know, that's the sort of inspiration I almost draw from podcasting as well.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of Tim Ferriss, by the way, he really delves into, and Lewis Howes, people's morning rituals, evening rituals. Do you have any that you like, you know, the must-haves or must-dos every day, every night?
I think that probably the first thing I do every day is I have a coffee. It's like this morning ritual of making the coffee that is part of the, you know, you're awake sort of thing. It's, you know, I find that if I don't have it, that particular process, I think the process is more important than the drink itself.
Yeah.
I don't know, like just going and pressing the grinder button to grind the beans, and then like putting the tamping on, and then putting it into the machine and pouring espresso. That whole thing is sort of like an announcement that you're awake. And funnily enough, like my dog, Billy, is part of the morning routine too, because she remembers the act. Like I could never forget, because she's always in the same spot waiting for the same thing. And you know, she's sitting there waiting for her, like the morning treat that she gets every morning at the same sort of spot and time. And yeah, that makes up the morning. And, you know, I usually then end up on, you know, checking the internet, the different things that have happened in our various spaces, and you know, that kickstarts the day.
Yeah, that's awesome. We recently got a puppy, and yeah, she definitely reminds me it's time to get up and get the morning going. So
yeah, you can't hide.
Yeah, right. Speaking of the internet, I guess as we can transition here, I've always wondered, you know, how do you keep on the cutting edge of technology? Because, you know, in the Voxer chats we've had, I always see you in the technology group just offering advice, offering answers and things I've never even heard of before, different apps, different things. So how do you stay, you know, on that edge of the future, I guess?
I think it's just a personal interest. You know, people pay attention to stuff that they're interested in. And for me, that interest is exactly that space. It's the space around the edges where people, you know, often feel threatened by and challenged by. And for me, technology is that space in a way. Like it's the space where a lot of people look at, and, you know, they're comfortable in there. In their zones and the status quo and stuff. But I've always been more excited by the what's on the outside of that as an early adopter. And yeah, that's got its pros and cons too, because, you know, it's, you can find something and you want the next early adopter discovery or whatever that might be. But that, yeah, I draw inspiration and excitement around hunting down and being able to tell people about things that I found useful. So that's probably answers it. But in saying that, how do I actually find things? I don't know. I think it's the internet's pretty amazing how information can come to you based on previous interactions and behaviors and interests. And if you subscribe to different places, it comes there. So I think that's it, really. It's a personal deep interest, and I like to fulfill that for my own reasons, and also like to share it when it's appropriate.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I, like I said, I've always appreciated your help on a lot of things in the past, and things even right now kind of going on. So along with that, like, I've always considered you a mentor of mine. It's, I love when a mentor is like, you know, 10 years younger than me or more.
I appreciate it.
But now there's you and there's just a lot of people I could mention in the PE space, education space. So Who would you consider your mentors, either virtually or, I guess, you know, right there in Australia?
Yeah, I mean, sort of maybe there's a blend of people who I've physically meet and work with, and then people who I've never met but get inspired by the stuff that they do. So the people who inspire me and I've learned from but I've never met and probably never will include, you know, people like Elon Musk, and the work that he does around the tech space. And, you know, someone like Peter Diamandis, who is a tech advocate, you might say, and, you know, like a venture capitalist, and has had lots of inputs in changing things around education and disruption for the future. People like that, I've never probably will meet them, but, you know, they definitely inspire me, and I would consider them to be mentors. Because these days, the internet makes it possible that, you know, you can have these one-way conversations on leverage with people. So you could be sitting in their Facebook Live, and it's almost like you're sitting and talking to them to some extent. So there's those people. And then in the real world, you know, there's people like James Schramko, who runs the website Superfast Business. He's a big mentor of mine, and he's the person that made me sort of realize how much impact we could potentially have and enabled us to reach as many PE teachers as we have over the last few years, and how we could invest that value back into the Connected PE platform to make it even more valuable for people. I sort of hadn't really thought about how much value we were creating, and he made us realize that. So, you know, if you've ever listened to a webinar of ours or been on a podcast or learned from what we do, it's a direct byproduct of the advice and the thought processes that, you know, have come down to me from people like that. You know, we just were doing what we were doing and realized, probably didn't realize, that we were having an impact, and he helped us laser focus that.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I'm constantly trying to find more, I guess, virtual mentors and real life mentors just to push my profession forward and push my thinking forward. So yeah, I love hearing that. Can you tell us about the Connected PE conference coming up, the online conference, because I'll be presenting on it. I'm very excited. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm glad you are presenting, because, you know, I think you continue to do amazing things and, you know, advocate for this whole ongoing learning that I think is pretty paramount, no matter what field you're doing. You know, you Thanks. Always need to be upskilling yourself. But yeah, we decided a few years back that, you know, we did lots of live events, and we continue to do live events in person and you know, face to face all around the planet. And that was a cool thing. We got to travel and see a lot of the world, but that doesn't scale. I mean, you can't physically visit every city in the world. You can't physically visit every conference or attend or meet every person face to face. So in a way, the only way to be able to provide, you know, scalable learning for people is to do it virtually and online. And that's not to say you still don't do offline things, but, you know, we sort of led down this path that we could scale this online, you know, platform and the online conference way more than we could the offline. And we could do it virtually free. So we make the online conference free, and it's running from the 15th of February the 11th of February through to the 15th of February in 2019. And people can register completely for free, and they just log on to the site and register for whatever sessions they have. And after the fact, if they decide that they would like to, you know, continue with the access to the recordings and all the other stuff that we have, they can choose to become a member and get access to those things. But, you know, 98% of people never will purchase or, you know, take that next step, and that's totally fine. But for the people that do, they get the opportunity to continue that learning. So, you know, we're very excited to be able to take people like you and give them an opportunity, that is, people all around the world, to hear what you're up to in the classroom. And, you know, that's, you know, that makes it, you know, really exciting for us when we can share those ideas. And you're going to be talking about Chookball and the unit that you did and how successful that is. And that sort of stuff is what people love to hear. So, you know, hopefully your listeners get a chance to come by.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I hope so too. I enjoy it every year doing our sport ed Chookball unit with our fifth graders. It actually really is my favorite thing to do. It's just, it's really exciting, and the students really get involved in it, and they just love it. I actually talked to a few students today. Their siblings are still at our school, so I'll see them in the car getting dropped off or whatever. And I was just asking them, you know, about their experience, and to give me a couple of blurbs about it, email me or whatever. And they just had the greatest things to say about it. And, you know, even a few years later, you know, I consider that, I hate to say it, it sounds selfish, but, you know, one of my masterpieces. I mean, that was something it's just something different, and that's something the kids will never forget. Even if they didn't win, you know, the whole thing, they might have had a job that they loved, or they just enjoyed the experience. And so what do you consider one of your masterpieces? I kind of got you in on that one. What do you consider one of your big top, I guess, achievements, either in teaching or, you know, in the, you know, the online space? What is one of your just top things that you've achieved that you were just like, wow, that was awesome?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, because you got me thinking about the whole sport ed thing too. Some of the sport ed units that we've ran have always been highlights. You know, they have been well received by students and so on. Like, I would include them up in the list. But, I can't go past this idea that, you know, a long time ago, people weren't really talking about or thinking about how technology could play a role in the classroom. Like, they weren't thinking about that, and particularly PE teachers, they were not considering it. And I was lucky enough to be in that space and thinking about those things and being able to share those things, and just being able to see just the people that we work with, and it's in the tens of thousands of people directly, that is, take some leaps in their programs and maybe try some things, and people who have gone on from our workshops and live events to end up being your sort of leaders in that area. I couldn't pass that up as the, you know, the best work that we've done. And it's not so much about us, it's about what they've been able to do. Because, you know, I look at things that people are doing now and I think, you know, that's amazing. And just the fact that the shift, it happened a long time ago and there's a lot of people involved in it, and just seeing the positive effect that has, you know, had for people, and being able to follow along with that journey and influence it in some ways has been really rewarding.
Yeah, and it's just amazing seeing the kids take hold of the jobs, and it's awesome. I mean, I originally thought it was like, you know, this is my masterpiece, and it was ours. Every year it's the kids. It's like, we just put together this great thing, and it's the students coming together, and you know, my paras and just the teachers that kind of help us along with it and encourage us, and it's just amazing to see this. And so I'm really excited to present on it, and I'm excited this season for my students, because like I said, it's kind of in the preseason phase right now, but we're getting there, and it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I originally saw Sport Ed on your website, and then kind of I blended that with Nathan Horn, because he did a hockey unit. I'm just wondering real quick, what were some of the sports you've done in with Sport Ed, or activities?
We've done volleyball, Sport Ed style. We like basketball was probably one of the very first ones, and like a soccer football, Australian rules football one as well. So it's pretty awesome. Versatile. Like there was actually an entire semester in year five class, and we had I think about 40 kids in the group. So we actually ran that entire semester as a sport ed unit. So the sport would shift every 5 weeks from whatever sport we're doing to the next sport, but the model always stayed the same. So we would just move out the skills that they were learning, but it was always ran with sport ed. And that class seemed to really work quite well, because by the end of it, like, we weren't directly doing much in the way of setting up the class. We were, but the actual structure of the class is what was driving a lot of independent student learning. So that was pretty cool. We did it with a whole variety of sports there.
Awesome. Really, I've been meaning eventually to do that with another sport or another grade level. It's just with, we have like 1,200 students at our school, and class-wise, I know you know this, but, you know, we have like 130 per class, basically. And so it's sometimes really hard to organize, but I really want to do that in the future with a different sport, different activity. So, you got me excited now to just try something totally new.
It's very flexible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So I had a couple random questions for you, and then just to kind of finish up. So I know you travel a lot. So, you know, with your Connected PE, just doing workshops, things like that. Was there a country, because I haven't traveled even quite as much as you, was there any country or city that just kind of surprised you? Either they were, I don't even know, maybe more on the more technology or technologically advanced than you thought, or less, or just a place that you were like just wowed by. Was there anything like that?
I think one thing I've noticed is that there are so many similarities globally with how people teach and the sort of challenges they have in their PE space. That's a very obvious thing. Like we can sit in Australia or, you know, the US and think that we've got more, or we do this better. But when you start traveling, you start realizing that a lot of people are doing things fantastic in the places you wouldn't expect, and the same challenges that you have around trying to get kids who don't want to be active, and like that's the same stuff that other people are dealing with too. So it sort of reminded me that all these sort of things have been answered before, and there's a great opportunity to learn from each other if people are interested in doing so. So that's why that whole online space is really attractive. So yeah, traveling gave me that as an ideal that there's so many similar and common themes amongst no matter where you are, all girls schools, all boys schools, the most elite schools that, you know, we visited, and the poorest of schools that we visited. There's so many similarities, and I think that's quite interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear that. And it's comforting to know that too. I think that we are all connected, you know, in some way, and all alike in some ways.
Yeah, there's definitely unique qualities to each of these things I've described, but there's a lot more that's similar, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, a lot of the observations I made sometimes around, you know, particular schools when we'd go and work with them, is some of the most well-resourced schools were the poorest users of tech in the PE classroom. You know, they mm-hmm. would make, you know, roll out these technology pieces and not really think about why are they doing it or what the reasons were, as opposed to some of these smaller schools. And I mean, I think, you know, you, when you first started out, you had your teacher device and a shared dongle that you would put up onto a screen, and you had to put in way more thought and energy and effort around that, and therefore potentially thinking about the learning and why you're doing it, because, you know, it was much more of a challenge, as opposed to the schools where kids had two devices each and they just walked in and no thought really around why they were doing that. So that's another observation too. There's no correlation between the resources that a school has and how well that class can benefit and use that tech.
Yeah, and I think it's all about mindset and as a teacher, just seeing what's out there. And, you know, like I said, my first 2 years teaching PE, I didn't even know there was such a thing as technology in PE until I started connecting with you and other people. And it just opened my eyes to just what's going on in the whole world and what's possible. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So is there any travel in the future, in the near future for you?
Well, I have a conference, a PE teacher conference in Bangkok in March, which I'm heading to. And, you know, that's on the agenda. But other than that, you know, we are so interested in this online space just because of the sheer numbers that we get to interact with. You know, if we put up a webinar and make it free and promote it to people, we can have thousands of people attend that webinar. And, you know, that's pretty insane. Like the mere notion of trying to do that in a physical space is just not going to happen. And even if you did make it happen, you'd have to, the costs associated with that are huge. So the scalability of online is quite attractive, and it's very future-proof too. So a bit less travel these days because of, you know, the fact that I'd rather not, but I still occasionally do. And this time it's usually in tow with a one-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. So again, I know you're I want to protect your time here, and I know you just put your daughter down for a nap, so I want to give you a little Netflix time or whatever you need. So I guess one kind of final question: what's next for Jared Robinson besides that little bit of traveling? Is there anything, an app or a thing you could talk about or that's coming up?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest crown jewel that we have built is the Connected PE app for mm-hmm. our members. And also it's a free app. So any PE teacher can go and download this Connected PE app and register, and you get a free account, and you know, you'll get, I think, 10 to 12 hours of professional learning in there. And yeah, I mean, we're just committed to spending the time and the resources on making that app as good as possible. So it's going through like lots of different iterations and updates. And just as we're talking now, there's a new update about to go out, which we're pretty excited about. But yeah, like the online conference material, once that's all wrapped up, will be in the app for people to be able to peruse. And you know, the numbers tell us that people are doing a lot of this sort of learning on the go and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
providing a platform for people to do that wherever they are is what's next for us, and making sure that, you know, is as high quality as possible.
Yeah, and I absolutely love the Connected PE app, and I've seen the changes over time, and yeah, I love going in there and just, you know, picking out a thing I'm interested in and learning from, you know, teachers from all over the world. It's just been a great experience, and yeah, thank you so much for that. It's great.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Any final words from Jared Robinson, the PE geek?
I think question your assumptions. That's sort of what a lot of this stuff comes down to. You know, the people like yourself, you know, when you sat there in that PE classroom and thought, you know, technology and PE, surely not. But, you know, you question your assumptions, and here you are today doing lots of different things and improving your practice and discovering that there's this connection with people online. And that wouldn't have happened if you didn't question these assumptions. And I think there's a lot to be said when we do that, we sort of, you know, take steps forward. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much all this is about for us. It's, you know, looking back and thinking, was that good enough? Probably not. Let's move on and try something else.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like I said, I appreciate you being here, Jared. Thank you so much. I always love talking to you, and thank you for doing this for me. Yeah, take care.
My pleasure. We'll speak soon.
Yeah, thanks.
See ya.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Jared Robinson. He is awesome and always giving some just great knowledge bombs out there and dropping them all over the place here. So I really appreciate him being on the show. He is at connectedpe.com and thepegeek.com. And definitely check out our upcoming webinar presentations. Mine is on Sunday, February 10th at connectedpe.com. And he has them all week long, just various topics, lots of different people presenting. So definitely tune in. And as always, check out supersizephysed.com for latest videos and resources, all that good stuff. You guys are awesome. I'm going to leave you with a beat.